This is CAP Radio 90.9 Sacramento and 91.3 Stockton Modesto, your NPR station. We get support from BevMo, presenting their semi-annual wine and spirits event where patrons can mix and match preferred wines with whiskeys, vodka, and rum at BevMo locations through April 22nd. Information at BevMo.com. And from Clipper Creek, a local electric vehicle charging station manufacturer, encouraging listeners to test drive an electric vehicle when shopping for new cars. Learn more at ClipperCreek.com.
You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Donna Epidone with Nick Miller. We're urging you to make your contribution to the station. The next segment of Insight is going to be one that will be of particular interest. A journalist and author, Lauren Markham, has written a fascinating book. She's going to be in studio with Beth in just a moment. They'll also be doing an event this evening. The book is all about what happens when people who are underage are trying to get into the United States from Central American countries, from some of the more dangerous places in the world. I host CAP Radio Reads, our ongoing book club, where we bring authors in and talk to them about interesting topics. And Lauren Markham, the journalist I've just mentioned, was with us at CAP Radio Reads a year and a half ago. It's a fascinating story told in a fascinating way. So it's a segment of Insight that's coming up next that you will want to hear. And this is a good time to make your contribution for this and everything that you hear. 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.
And thank you so much for that contribution. Now, Donna, CAP Radio Reads, it's also a podcast, right?
It is a podcast. It's available. There's something that comes out approximately every 6 weeks to 2 months. Our authors from CAP Radio Reads events are on the podcast. We just dress it up a little bit, but basically it's exactly what we had with a live audience right here in our studios. And we look for authors who are on the NPR list of great authors. We look for a lot who are on tour or maybe working and living in the Bay Area. And we always try to make sure that it's someone who has written something that is of immediate concern, a topic that's in the news, a topic that's of interest to our listeners. So we want to make sure that it's always timely and always, it's not fantasy writing. You know, it's something that's meaningful and has an impact on our lives. Yeah, CAP Radio Reads, the podcast is available. All the details are at capradio.org/reads.
And I'm just so fascinated by that, too, because there's a machine behind the CAP Radio Reads event, the podcast, the episode we're going to have right now on Insight. It's as much as Donna is driving this, there's also Sally, who helps produce the podcast. There's also the events people who coordinate the event and make it happen when, you know, dozens of people come to our station to listen to Donna interview these authors. It's that sort of production team and those individuals and that brain power and all those smart people in the room that you are making possible with your contribution to CAP Radio. And that's why we're taking this time this morning to ask you to contribute and support that journalism that we do. And you can do that right now very easily. You can call 1-800-800-5867. There's people who will pick up the phone right away and talk to you and help make that possible. Or you can be like me and just be the person who picks up your phone and goes to capradio.org. Puts
just
in your credit card.
Punch in those little numbers.
Just punch in the numbers. You know, I'm a thumb guy. It's funny when I use my fingers, but I'm a thumb guy. Anyways, you don't need those details. 1-800-800-5867, capradio.org. Thanks for your contribution.
This is Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Lauren Markham is an important storyteller in our country's immigration debate. She is a journalist. She works part-time at Oakland International High School. And she wrote a book published in 2017 titled The Faraway Brothers, Two Young Migrants and the Making of an American Life. The book is about twin teenage brothers from El Salvador who came to the U.S. separately and illegally in 2014. The story is true. The book became a bestseller, and Donna Appadoni, I think as you just heard, featured Lauren in a CAP Radio Reads interview. You can find it linked to our webpage, by the way. But with El Salvador now in jeopardy of losing U.S. aid, with the threats of the border being closed and California's governor winding up a fact-finding mission to El Salvador this week, I think it's especially timely that Lauren is with us today. She and I will be in conversation tonight in Auburn for the Auburn One Book, One Community event, and you're invited to attend that as well. Lauren, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
What do you think might come out of the focus on El Salvador right now?
Well, I'm hoping that with our governor there, who's really kind of on a mission to understand the root causes and I think offer a different narrative from the United States about how some of us up here view immigration as not necessarily the same kind of threat that our president would, the kind of myth of immigrants being threats that our president perpetuates. So I'm hoping that with Gavin Newsom being there, there's a little bit more attention to the root causes and a more complex understanding of why people are coming, and not so much focus on how to stop them from coming at our border, but more how to fix and attend to the root causes that have them coming here in the first place.
Your book sets us in the Obama presidency and what was called then the unaccompanied minor crisis. So what was the magnitude of the crisis then?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, first we tend to talk in this country about immigration crises, and it is absolutely a crisis when a number of desperate people are crossing our borders, especially when they're children without papers or parents. But I want to offer the concept that it's not a crisis for the United States. It's really a crisis for the migrants themselves. It's really a humanitarian crisis and not so much a crisis for our immigration system. But in 2014, as many of us will remember, that summer of 2014, it was all over the news that these kids were crossing. There were, you know, so many of them, the narrative that there were waves of them. They were crossing the border without papers or parents. The U.S. government sort of didn't have the capacity to deal with the sheer number. That year, about 60,000 crossed our border, 60,000 unaccompanied minors without papers or parents. The historic average before 2012 had been 8,000 a year. This past year, there were over 40,000 who crossed. So 2014 was the peak under the Obama administration, but we're still at historic highs when it comes to unaccompanied minors crossing our borders.
The short version of how this came into your life was that you were looking at it as a reporter, but at school, somebody said to you, "Hey, we've got these kids with these court dates and nobody to take them." And you said, what?
Yes, exactly. I was sort of dumbfounded because I work at a school for immigrant youth in Oakland, California. And meanwhile, I'm also a reporter. So I'd been reporting on this issue all around California and all around the country. And then all of a sudden, sort of without me noticing and without any of us noticing, a number of the people who were enrolling at our school were in the same circumstance of being unaccompanied minors.
I like the question you asked, though. Instead of just focusing on what a tragedy this might be socially from whichever viewpoint you look at it, you wondered about the kids that were going across the border and actually making it.
Yes.
And how has that view and then the story you told of these twin boys been embraced? What's the reaction been as you talk to people across the country?
You know, I think this is sort of a trope, but I think it's a trope that's true, that stories and human stories are really powerful. And spending 200 pages immersed not just in the lives of these two twin brothers, but also their brother who's here in the United States, their 24-year-old brother who's here in the United States, their sister and other siblings who'd stayed home in El Salvador, their families, immersing yourself in the lives of families, even if it's on the page, kind of brings a more intimate relationship to the immigration debate. And it's not, we're not talking anymore when you're immersed in a story like this about the numbers. You're not thinking about the kind of magnitude or the scale. You're thinking about the impacts on individual lives of people who you've really gotten to know. So I've been really heartened to hear that for some people that's kind of opened their eyes or shifted their consciousness a little bit.
In this family, you said the older brother came first and then one of the twins and then a second twin followed.
Yes.
So they all came separately.
Yes.
And they were teenagers when they went across. The twins were. It's startling how impacted, how traumatized the boys were by some of their experiences. And I don't think anyone can read the book and not think about the kids who are much younger.
Yes.
Yesterday, Assemblymember Wendy Carrillo told her story of being smuggled as a 5-year-old, and that came out of the crisis in the 80s. the stories change, but they don't change that much, do they?
No, they really don't. And I also think about the story of my great-grandmother, who came as an unaccompanied minor from Greece through Ellis Island in the early 1900s. And she wasn't fleeing violence, but she was fleeing deep poverty. Her story is not as harrowing, but has similar resonances, right? The people have been fleeing challenging circumstances in their home countries and coming to the United States for centuries.
There's a small irony, and that is that one of the boys working in a restaurant in the Bay Area ended up serving the governor one night and had a picture taken with him, Governor Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown is in the book. I'm so glad you... No one has asked me about that. It's this little cameo that people gloss over, so thank you for bringing that up. But yes, it was really fascinating, I think, and the reason I put it in this book is that there's this young man who is working in a restaurant without papers, and he's in a tenuous immigration circumstance, and, you know, the decisions of policymakers are really trickling down and impacting his life in massive ways. And in comes Jerry Brown, and he gets a selfie with Jerry Brown.
You're listening to Lauren Markham. She is the author of The Faraway Brothers. She and I will be in more conversation tonight in Auburn at the Auburn One Book, One Community event. It's at the Placer High School in the auditorium. It starts at 7 o'clock. We'll post more information. You're invited to attend. Will you talk about how you changed after learning so much about their stories, not only in your work in the high school, but as a person?
That's a great question. I always, because I work with individuals on a daily basis who have been impacted by our immigration system and by our foreign policy and by sort of all of these decisions, from local decisions of the city council in Oakland all the way up to, you know, federal foreign policy or immigration decisions, I always sort of look through the lens of individuals. Those are also the stories that I write. You know, I try to talk about and look at and investigate social issues through the lens of human stories. But I will say that it was sort of like peeling an onion, in the sense that I understood the way in which decisions that our country made in the 80s, in the 60s, deeply impacted the lives of these young men who hadn't even been born yet. And so I think it made me even more attuned to the wide-reaching impacts of our foreign policy and how the decisions that we're making today will in many ways come back to haunt us and others, and innocent people like the Flores twins in generations to come.
I don't mean to spoil the read for anybody, because I think it's an important book whether you know the outcome or not. But your question was, how are they doing? How will they do? Will they succeed in the United States? And how are the twins and their brother doing?
They are definitely setting roots in this country in ways that I think was sort of unfathomable to them at the beginning, when their sort of journey here began. I think they're almost surprised to find themselves feeling at home in this country, even though it is still a tenuous home. You know, they still have a really tenuous relationship to this place, but every day it's more and more a place of belonging for them.
And what's your next question? What are you working on now?
I'm working on a number of articles, but one of the things I'm really interested in, and there's little hints of this in this book, but the impact of sort of climate change on migration globally. That is something that I think more and more of us are starting to talk about and look at, but we're not doing quite enough of it. And so I think that that's a big question I'm sort of following at the moment.
Thank you for your time. And you and I will have much more time together tonight.
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. That's Lauren Markham. Her book is The Far Away Brothers. Thanks again, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll post a link if you want to join us tonight at the Placer High School Auditorium for the Auburn One Book, One Community event. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.